of the photos in here are from grants from the past 5 years. And this, Jennifer might notice, is one of the photos from a grant that SLU School had with George Middle School, as well as Windsor Oar, where the kids built their own boat and did a lot of nature education programs. This is actually their celebration kayak trip. So if you want more information about that, Jennifer can tell you them. Our contacts, again, I'm Krista Gardner, and this is Heather Nelson-Kett. We are here to help you. We do not serve on the review committee. We facilitate it, which means that we are available for technical assistance and to talk to you about your grant proposal. So please do take the opportunity, if you'd like, to talk to us either tonight or email us or phone calls or even meeting times that I'll talk about later. I wanted to start off with Heather talking a little bit about the context of the grant.
So here at Metro, we have a Parks and Nature Department. We manage about 17,000 acres of national areas. We've been mostly voter funded, all of our land acquisition and a lot of our programming. In 2013, voters approved an operating levy for Parks and Nature, and our previous Nature and Neighborhoods grants were funded from that levy, and this new round of grants are thanks to the recent five-year funding that was approved by voters in 2016. So one of the things that was really unique about the funding that we received, that levy funding in 2013, is that it did include really specific language about serving low-income communities and communities of color. And we really took that to heart in our grant making and changed a lot of the things that we had done in the past, changed our criteria and the focus of some of our grant making. And that resulted in funding a lot of different types of projects than what we had done previously. We've been supporting Nature Neighborhoods grants for about 25 years with different types of funding over. And so it really did change over the last round of funding thanks to that policy language. In 2016, the Metro Council adopted a strategic plan to advance racial equity, which sort of further establishes Metro's commitment to those diversity, equity, inclusion goals. And you'll see that we've updated the grant criteria to reflect the learning that we have had over the last several years in working with communities and supporting these types of projects, and just our own kind of our own journey as an organization here at Metro, and kind of like what we're trying to accomplish, what the outcomes are. So you'll see that that's a really important part of these grants and other projects here at Metro.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go over some of the basics of these grants. We have $700,000 available this year. We will have more grants available in 2 years. We have up to, where the grant proposals are for either up to $30,000 for up to 2 years, or $100,000 for projects that are 36 months or 3 years or less. One of the things that is really important for these grant programs, as I mentioned earlier, is partnerships. So we do require three partners as minimum, and that can be two partners and a primary applicant, or that could be more partners. We're really looking for active partners, so not just partners in name only. So we're looking for partners where you're either leveraging their skills, leveraging their funding, providing funding to your partners. We're really looking at including others, so maximizing the inclusiveness through partnerships, as well as looking at creative approaches, especially when you consider that each one of your organizations has its own mission, and really looking at that intersection of where your mission aligns with your partner organizations as well as aligns with the grant goals of this program. Some of the minimum requirements. This information is also found within your handout. So this document, which is available in paper form, also on our website, and also on our online system, which is Zoom Grants. So most of the information, this basic information, is included in this handbook if you want to read along. Minimum requirements. These grants are really meant for organizations that are supporting community-driven programs. And the partnerships, again, is really important for that competitiveness. In terms of the nonprofit status, we do ask for organizations to have 501c3 status, or if they do not, to partner with a fiscal agent. And if you don't know what that is, we can talk to you about that afterwards. We do require a match of 1-to-1, so that can be, in many ways, that can be either a cash match or in-kind contributions. Often for these grants, we do see volunteer time as being used as match. We do also offer overhead costs. So for us, our definition of overhead is utilities and rent. So that's different than some people's definition of overhead, but we do allow for 10% of the grant award to be used for that overhead. And then in terms of location, since this is a program, as Heather was mentioning, that is funded by a metro-wide tax levy on metro residents, we are asking that each one of these grants does benefit metro area residents. So that is the reason for our location requirement and our requirement to serve metro area residents. And if you need to see a map of the metro region, I can point you out to that resource. It's on our metro website. For these grant proposals, we're really going to be looking for grants that meet the purpose and also meet at least one or more of the grant goals. So as Heather was mentioning, this grant purpose has not really changed much in the last 5, 10, 15 years. We're still looking for programs that support and create partnerships in local communities that improve water quality, fish and wildlife habitat, and connect people with nature. That's still our purpose, and that remains. Our goals, however, as Heather was mentioning, have changed. The focus is now on more of an equity focus, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so our goals are cultural equity, environmental equity, and economic equity, and I will go in a little bit more detail about each one of those goals, as well as give you some examples of projects that fit underneath those goals from the last 5 years of funding. So the first example is cultural equity, and so the goal for cultural equity is peoples of all cultures play, connect, and celebrate their histories, languages, and traditions in the region's parks and natural areas. And within our handbook, we do have several examples of different types of projects that might fit that goal. So it could be anything from community gatherings or cultural gatherings within parks or the natural areas. It could be increasing capacity within an organization, especially organizations serving or of communities of color. It could be building relationships and partnerships to bring nature-based education to a particular community or with a particular community. So this is a new framing for us, and particularly different is this first goal than in previous years.
Some of you have applied for these grants in the past, and as Krista's mentioned, this is probably the biggest shift in our grant-making goals. is really to continue to try to identify opportunities for those different cultural experiences, but to happen in parks and natural areas and build community, support communities building their own experience and relationship with places.
So an example from the last 5 years that might fit underneath this goal of cultural equity is Nadaka Nature Park. So Nadaka Nature Park was given a grant in 2014, awarded a grant in 2014 for really activating a new park space, which is Nadaka that was built within the last 10 years. It's in between Portland and Gresham. And they have activated the space in several ways. This is a photo of the community festival that they do each summer. This is the Aztec Dancers. They've also brought in a group of English as second language learners from the Rockwood Library. They bring them over to the Nadaka Nature Park to have a connection to nature there. They do things like stewardship events. They do tadpole events for preschoolers. They have a program where they bring in what they call ambassadors, which are community members who take ownership of the park. And in that particular case, they're Spanish-speaking and Russian-speaking, which is the languages in that neighborhood, to help people feel comfortable and steward people into the park. And then they also bring sun school classes from the nearby school. So really many ways that they're activating this park and really bringing the community in to experience and learn about it. The committee really found compelling, the review committee really found compelling of this particular grant, its capacity building component. So the fact that it was building from a new park to really activate that space. They really liked the geographic distribution because it was supporting East Metro, and they felt that it really reached a diverse community. So those were some of the things that they really liked about the Nadaka program. And so the things. Yeah. So we offer these sample applications so that if you are curious about different programs or the ways people framed their program in the application, we offer these pre-application examples. So Nadaka is one of those.
You want to just hand them around? Yeah, and if people don't have one and they want one, they can take them. You can just, yeah.
The other example that I'm going to talk about is Coalition of Communities of Color. So Coalition of Communities of Color received a grant in 2014 of $20,000 to build capacity within their own membership. And some of the members of the Coalition of Communities of Color are listed on the partners on the right side of that slide. Really, the focus of that grant was to have a series of trainings and that were led by and for the members of Coalition of Communities of Color. And they talked about things like the intersection of priorities of their organizations with the environmental movement. They looked at broadening the concept of the environmental movement, advocating for inclusiveness within the environmental movement, and looking at how to bring additional resources to communities of color, especially those member organizations. So the committee really found this to be a compelling grant proposal because of the clear need for that intersection between conservation education and communities of color, and really the strong partnerships as well as the diversity of community leaders that were represented. And this is also one of the pre-applications, I believe, that that is that has just been passed around. So if you want to learn more about that particular program, there's that information for you. Environmental equity. This goal says communities of color in the Portland region have direct access to safe parks, protected natural areas, and the benefits of healthy land, air, and water. Communities enjoy learning about, helping restore, experiencing, and connecting with nature and the region's natural areas. So some of the examples of types of projects that might fit underneath this goal are things like supporting outdoor nature programs, including families and community engagement, increasing hands-on nature education programming, integrating nature education with science-based or more formal school education, things like looking at STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and math, looking at the Oregon literacy, Oregon Environmental Literacy Plan, and really looking at the connection between nature education and those more formal settings. And then looking at both hands-on restoration activities as well as connecting people to and teaching them about their watershed. So some of the examples that I'll talk to you about tonight are Centro Cultural. So Centro Cultural was awarded a grant in 2014 for a three-year program of $100,000 specifically for their STEAM program, so Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. And that program is an after-school program as well as a summer program focused on Latino youth in Cornelius, Forest Grove, and Washington County. This grant really allowed the nature education component to be added to that existing programming. And so as you can see, there are some of the partners listed there. Clean Water Services does some nature education or environmental education. Pacific University has a location called the B Street Farm, which many of the kids were able to take field trips to and receive education on. They also partnered further along in their programming with some other organizations that brought additional interest to their program, things like Intel for robotics, the Hillsboro Hops for baseball, and I believe it was kayaking with Tualatin and River Keepers. So this was a really interesting project for the review committee, and they found it especially compelling because it is such a well-established community-based organization, and this was really bringing that additional nature education piece to that well-established programming. The next example that I'll refer to is Ecology in the Classroom and Outdoors. They received funding for programming that was done in the North Clackamas area. And one of the things I'll talk about in a little bit is the importance of geographic distribution. So this, again, is a region-wide grant program. And so we do try and get a variety of both applications and grant recipients from around the region, not just in one particular area. So this engages around 600 fourth and fifth graders, both in the classroom as well as taking field trips to natural areas and parks, and engages them really in hands-on restoration activities as well as nature education. It really makes that connection to the next generation science standards, the Oregon Environmental Literacy Plan, and the review committee really found this compelling, one for that geographic distribution, two for that getting outside, that connection between the in-class and outside classroom experience, and really making that connection between the two, and the fact that the schools that they were working with in North Clackamas were Title I elementary schools. The third goal is economic equity. Nonprofit and community-based organizations and individuals of color thrive in the region's outdoor, environmental, and natural resources economies. The business of parks and nature is a source of community prosperity. So some examples of types of projects that might fit underneath this goal are things like mentorship programs, youth core and job skill development programs. They could be adult training programs, worksite tours, career-related learning, paid work, or on-the-job training. So some examples of those from our last 5 years were Momentum Alliance. Momentum Alliance had a strong co-created project with Northwest Youth Corps. Momentum Alliance has a youth focus, especially disadvantaged youth. It's run by and for youth. And Northwest Youth Corps has a really strong reputation for their restoration internships. So the two came together, each bringing their own skill set and their own understanding. So the Momentum Alliance bring their understanding of the needs of their population that they work with mostly, and Northwest Youth Corps really coming with that knowledge of what is required of restoration internships, and then co-created this really strong program. It was a summer program where there were about 6 hours of work time and about 1 hour of education time, and it was about 10 students. The review committee really found this to be compelling because it was in its second year, that partnership, and they really wanted to see that partnership continue to grow and be more established. They also felt that it was a really exciting partnership, and they really felt that Momentum Alliance really understood their community and their youth and were really excited about that knowledge that they brought to bear. The last example I'll give tonight is Tualatin River Keepers. And so if you have questions about this, Sandra can talk a little bit more about it. So the Tualatin River Keepers partnered with Central Cultural of Washington County, which I mentioned earlier, and Muslim Educational Trust to do adult internships as well as adult training in urban forestry. So they had 10 trainings each year for their interns, and then placed their students in very specific apprenticeship or internships based on their own skills and interests. There were, you know, of course, they mentioned there were some challenges with that model, in that in particular with the Muslim Educational Trust, there were some students who were, for example, Syrian refugees, who it was challenging because of the language barrier. So, you know, always looking to improve on all of our programs in any way we can. It was a pilot program, and it was 2 years, and there were 24 students as part of the program. So the review committee found this to be particularly compelling because it was clearly responding to a need of the community, and it was really strongly written in terms of its goals and objectives, as well as it was really thoughtfully and appropriate activities by well-established organizations for the students that were participants of the program. So now I'm going to turn from the storytelling component of the evening to the nitty-gritty application portion. So the review of pre-application, this is done by a review committee that is made up of peers. So they are other people who work in nature education, community-based organizations, outdoor experiences, culturally specific organizations, and they are reviewing your applications based upon a set of criteria that we have established. So that set of criteria is also found within your handbook if you want to look at those questions in specific. But it's really focused on the five components of your grant proposal, which is project narrative. So how well does your grant proposal describe the project and its importance and the need for the project in your community? And in terms of the goals, how well does it meet the Nature and Neighborhoods, Nature Education, and Outdoor Experiences grant goals and purpose? And how is the intersection between your mission, your organization's mission, your partner's mission, and those grant goals? Partnerships, like I said, strong emphasis on partnerships in this grant program, really looking for active partners. So what are the roles and responsibilities of your own organization, but also those of your partners? And related organizational preparedness, how do you have the experience to pull off this particular project or program? And if you don't have the experience, which of your partners have that experience? And if they don't have the experience, with whom will you partner in the future, or how do you expect to bring that experience to bear? And then a new question for us is about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Like Heather mentioned, it is an increasing emphasis of this grant program. And so really looking at how does your grant proposal expand the type of organizations or the communities of color that are involved in these programs. And then finally, location and program reach. Like I mentioned earlier, this is a metro-wide grant program, and so we are looking at geographic distribution as one of our criteria. I should also mention, and I'll mention in a couple of slides, that our review committee is open currently. And so if you are interested in being a participant on that review committee, we are taking applications now. So I'll talk about that in a... and it's over on the table over there. The application, I'll talk about it in a little bit, but it's fairly simple. The timeline. So the pre-applications are due on March 6th at 4 p.m. The reason that we set our time for 4 p.m. is so that Oriana, myself, and Heather are at our desks. If there are any technical malfunctions or you have a last-minute question, we can answer your questions. So that's the reason.
We will not be there at midnight, so we do not have a midnight demo. Like a lot of organizations do.
Right. Yeah, so that's the reason for the 4 p.m. if you're curious.
Yeah.
And we have our applications due midweek so that those organizations that are volunteer-led can work on it on the weekends, those that are staff-led can work on it during, you know, Monday or Tuesday if need be. So we tried to kind of find the middle ground there. The successful pre-applications will be invited to submit full applications in April. That's when the review committee will review them. And final applications will be due on May 2nd, again at that 4 p.m. deadline. Grant awards we expect to be announced in May. The Metro Council is the decision maker. The review committee makes recommendations. So we expect that the Metro Council will make their decision and offer grant awards in June, and the grant funds will be available in July. We know this is a tight timeline. We've heard feedback in the past that it's easier for organizations to have a condensed timeline as well as part of best practices. So we know it's tight, and we will work with you however we can to make it workable. So in terms of the...
What's the difference between the pre-application and the final application? I've seen the pre-application.
Yeah.
But
That's a great question. So the let me go through the pre-application and then I will answer that question. Okay. So I'm just going to go through the actual pre-application and how it looks, how it will look to you, both on our website as well as on Zoom Grants. The questions, again, are within our handy-dandy handbook. So this is our website, this is our webpage, and the application button is right here in the gray box, so that apply now. When you hit that button, you'll be taken to a separate screen for Zoom Grants, and this is our Metro site for Zoom Grants. So there are three grant programs right now that are available through Metro, the regional government. So please do check the name of the grant so that you're applying for the Nature Education and Outdoor Experiences grant. You'll hit that Apply button, and it will take you to this front page. If you have applied for grants before, some of this information will be self-populated through Zoom Grants. If you haven't, it's fairly simple. The first page is things like your contact information and your organization's name, address, things like that. The program summary is, so I'll explain first the tabs up at the top. So we have put information in your handbook. We've also put that same information in the Zoom Grants, in the description, minimum qualifications, purpose and goals, and then that handbook is actually also in the library there. So if you click on any of those tabs, you should find information that's relevant to these grants. Like I said, this is the same information that you can find in the handbook. If you press this contact admin, it will send me an email. This second set of tabs, program summary, application questions, and document uploads, are the actual pre-application. So those are the three pages that you will need to fill out to complete the pre-application phase. So program summary is just some basic information about your program, the name of your program, how much are you asking for, how much will you bring in match. Again, we require that one-to-one match. And then some information about your contact information. This bottom piece is fairly important, this organization information and additional contacts. So if you are working with a partner organization, if you add them here in additional contacts, they will get copied on any email. For example, hi, we would like to invite you back for a full application. That email will be, your partners will be copied on. So that is fairly important for you to add their email addresses there. In the next tab, which is application questions, we have some basic information of the first five questions. They're just your program summary, which is your elevator speech. So if you had 20 seconds to talk to us about something, or a review committee member, really, what would you say? Fiscal agent, if you have one. If you don't, please write not applicable here. Program partners, those that are committed already, and then potential partners, so those people that you think you will partner with, but you haven't gotten a commitment from yet, as well as the program length, whether it's 1, 2, or 3 years. So pretty basic information. Yeah. This is the bulk of your pre-application right here. This is the bottom part of that same page. It is the five questions that correspond to the review committee evaluation. So program description, goals, and how your project fits the Nature Neighborhoods, Nature Education and Outdoor Experiences grant goals, as well as how your mission is aligned with that. Partnerships, organizational preparedness, and this new diversity, equity, and inclusion These are each one page long. We don't expect you to write one page. If you can say what you need to say in a half a page, that's great. We have just received the feedback that it is sometimes easier to write things longer than to have to condense them or make them shorter. So that's the reason that we have a page available for each one of these. This is 4,000 characters, so that includes spaces if you're someone who really likes to pay attention to those details. And then finally, the last page of here is the document uploads. So we do ask for two things to be uploaded. One is that location vicinity map. This again is goes along with that review committee criteria of geographic distribution. And then for our own program, we collect demographic information of your organization. So we have here a button for you to download the demographic form. It's a Word document. If you could fill that out and upload it again, that will not be shared with the review committee. That is only for Oriana, Heather, and I to be able to evaluate our own program and who we're serving. So to answer your question about full application, so this is the pre-application. If you are invited to fill a full application, there will be a couple more tabs here that you will fill out. So there will be a tab for budget, and so you will fill out a detailed budget form. There will be an evaluation tab that tells us how you will evaluate how you are successful with your project or program. And then there will be a couple of other document uploads that we ask for. So those document uploads will be things like letters of support or a form showing partnership commitment, as well as some things that are more in the weeds, like your letter of 501c3.
Just verifying that your organization is eligible with the 501c3 status.
And things like if you're using someone else's land, landowner permission letter, things like that.
Yeah.
So you won't change your narrative for your full application. We're just asking for additional detail in the full application. So finally, like I mentioned earlier, we are recruiting right now for our review committee. It's a peer review committee. If you're interested in participating in the review committee, it is a simple application. Application is maybe the wrong word. It's just an email to me that says why you're interested in serving on the review committee, and attach your resume. It doesn't need to be a up-to-the-minute updated resume. We're just looking for whether whether we have a variety of skills demonstrated in our review committee. And like I mentioned earlier, there is that application, more detail about the application on the table up there. And then finally, conflict of interest. What we say, Metro's policy on conflict of interest is if you or an immediate family member has a financial stake or is on the board of a nonprofit, then you need to recuse yourself from reviewing that grant proposal. So we ask that you don't participate in the discussion and you don't score that grant application, but you are welcome to serve on the review committee. So with that,
and we do have stipends available for committee members who would like to serve, but for whom the money is an issue. A lot of organizations we know can't pay for the extra time that it would take to sit on one of these committees. Other organizations can. People can do it as part of their regular jobs, but we know that's not true for all people, and so we are making some funding available to just try to reduce that barrier. So,
and just finally to close, like I said earlier, Heather, Oriana, and I are not sitting on the review committee. We are here to support you in any way we can. So please do feel free to email us or call us. We're happy to discuss your proposal idea. We are happy to answer any questions that you may have. And we even have what we're calling office hours, which is just meeting times that we have set aside between February 20th and March 1st, that either for phone calls or if you want to meet in person to go over your grant proposal or grant idea in more detail. So please do take advantage of that opportunity. We are really here to help you as best we can. And there's our contact information. Our contact information is also on the website and within the handbook. So with that, it's 6:30 now. Please do take this opportunity to mingle amongst yourselves. And if you have people here who might be potential partners, please take that time to meet and greet them. And then Heather and I will be here for another half an hour. If you have any questions, we're happy to answer them.
And eat more snacks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, eat more snacks.
So, again, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you coming out in the evening to learn a little bit more about these grants.